Good morning, team. Thank you so much for this chance to speak to you this morning, and my apologies for not being with you in person. Having a few health issues at the moment, and it's best to be very wary when it comes to this COVID pandemic. My name is Chris Darnell. I'm the vicar down at St. Mary's Church, and other hats that I wear that you might see me around in. I'm the chaplain and senior RE teacher down at Whitby Collegiate, and also I chair the Whitby Residents Association. So any of those connections, feel free to get in touch. Would love to engage with you. In the Anglican world, we sit this week at the beginning of the season of Lent, the season where we prepare for Easter. The best things that happen in our lives are often those things that we have prepared for and are journeying towards intentionally. And the tradition within the church for hundreds of years has been to take this season slowly, and to take the 40 days plus Sundays of Lent slowly and deliberately as a journey to prepare for resurrection in all of its fullness. That takes different forms, of course. Some might give things up for Lent. I feel like this year, maybe we've had enough of that before we've even started. But my encouragement to my team down at St. Mary's is that we prepare our hearts, and that we ask, how might God be seeking to transform us and to lead us closer to Him in this season? And the first Bible reading that we have on in Lent each year is the reading of Jesus' temptation in the wilderness. This year, we are reading from Luke's Gospel, and this is from Luke chapter 4, verses 1 to 13. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of Man, tell this stone to become bread." And Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone." The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, "I will give you all their authority and splendor. It has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. If you worship me, it will be all yours." And Jesus answered, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." And the devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down from here. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." And Jesus answered, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished all this tempting, he left him until an opportune time. A few things that I notice as I look at this passage. One, the influence that Jesus has, full of the Holy Spirit, having emerged from baptism in Jordan with John the Baptist. Of course, the previous page, we had the baptism of Jesus. And from that moment, Jesus is led by the Holy Spirit. And maybe we are excitedly thinking Jesus' ministry begins at this point. And it does very soon, later on in Luke chapter 4. But at this point is the season of preparation. and Jesus full of the Holy Spirit, and we each need to be full of the Holy Spirit and led by the Holy Spirit. Jesus left the Jordan and often our spiritual journeys are a journey of leaving, even sometimes before we enter into something new. He left the Jordan, that beautiful place of filling and of God's voice, and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Got a photo up on the screen behind me of the Jordan Desert. It's a barren, giant place where a human being would feel very small and very alone. Sometimes the Spirit leads us to surprising places. And sometimes it's not the places that we would expect. And sometimes we look around and go, this doesn't look like the thriving that I thought I was going to experience. I remember a few years ago on Facebook, a well-meaning Christian friend of mine, I had posted about Lent and about giving things up for Lent. And he said, oh, fasting, that's not a very Christian idea. You're being religious. And I thought, oh, wow. It's the most beautiful journey. It's not for me about religious experience, but it's about being led by the Spirit into so much more. For 40 days, Jesus was tempted by the devil. I don't know what temptations you are facing this week, but that's a journey that each of us face, isn't it? And Jesus ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them, he was hungry. I remember the first time my eyes were open to that passage, and I laughed kind of like, yeah, after not eating for 40 days, he was hungry. Speak of the obvious, would you? And it's got some significance. Jesus was fully human. Sometimes we can misrepresent Jesus by kind of going, well, Jesus was God. He was floating around 2 feet above the earth. Nothing ever touched him. And the reality of Jesus' experience, the reality of the incarnation, the mind-blowing reality of Jesus, the creator of the world who came to earth in this mission of love and salvation, came experiencing the weakness of the human body. And so it's not just a statement that's kind of like a little bit ridiculous, of course he was hungry. It's a statement of the mind-blowing nature of the incarnation. And at the end of 40 days, Jesus was hungry. And the devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread. Oftentimes, the devil's temptation or that weakness in our lives comes with just that little question, if? In the Garden of Eden, it was, did God really say? That tiny question mark that gets thrown on. Now, I'm certainly not against questioning things. As Christians, we need to be open to questioning and robust discussion and evaluating and thinking and rethinking and the challenge. And our faith is good for that. Our faith is stronger because we ask those questions. But do not let those questions get in the way. Those subtle little question marks. Hey, if you are the Son of God, tell the stone to become bread. Oh, come on, Jesus, it's not a big thing. You're God. Here's a stone. Scripture kind of says you could do this. Go on. The temptation that faces Jesus is a temptation to cut corners, to take it easy. Come on, Jesus, you've fasted for 40 days. Let's have some bread. You've got the power. You can do this. Is it a sinful act that the devil's tempting him to do? No. Except what is the definition of sin? To reacting in a way that's outside the will of God. Come on, Jesus, turn this stone into bread. Let's just take it easy, shall we? And maybe the temptation that comes so easily to us in the Western Church is that temptation just to take it easy. Let's just cut some corners. Let's not make things more difficult for ourselves. And Jesus answers with Scripture. It is written, man shall not live on bread alone. And it is so important that we be people who know the truth, that we are people of the book, and that we have an investment of Scripture in our lives, that when temptation comes, when tough times come, there is a richness to feed on. I had a lady when I was in Pahiatua, Agnes, and Agnes turned 105 when I lived in Pahiatua. Well, actually, she was part of the Eke Tohunga Church, so she'd get mad if I told you that she was from Pahiatua, but she was in the rest home in Pahiatua. And Agnes, one of our long-term parishioners, you get an extra card from the Queen, by the way, when you turn 105, so it's worth waiting. I used to go visit Agnes in the rest home, and Agnes, her body was not what it used to be. She stopped playing golf when she was 99. And I would say to her, oh, Agnes, how are you? Oh, I wish I could see. And I would say, oh, Agnes, I wish you could see too. What have you been doing, Agnes? Oh, I was awake through the night last night. I couldn't sleep and there was nobody here. So what did you do, Agnes? I did my recitations. And as a young lady, Agnes and her family growing up on the farm on a Saturday night used to gather around the piano and recite poetry and literature to each other. And Agnes had stored up in her mind these pieces of classical literature and poetry that were her food for her later in life when she didn't have anyone to talk to. Oh, what were you reciting, Agnes? Oh, it was a bit classical. I don't think you'd like it. And she might recite to me a few lines of this poem that she had been running through in her head. For us as Christians, how important it is that we store up the truth and a deep, deep well of the truth in our lives to respond to whatever comes. How tempting it can be to cut corners and to take it easy. The devil led Jesus up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to them, I'll give you all their authority and splendor. It's been given to me and I can give it to anyone I want to. If you worship me, it will be all yours. Henry Nouwen, in his beautiful take on these temptations, describes this as the temptation to be powerful. And the temptation to be powerful can come to each of us. The reality is that we know that Jesus has all authority in heaven and on earth, but his coronation to that authority was going to be via a difficult, painful road and was going to be via the cross. The devil here is offering Jesus a shortcut. And Jesus answered, it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. It's never fun to be weak. it's never fun to be in the vulnerable position. It's never fun to be in the voiceless position. But sometimes that's the place that God calls us to. The devil led Jesus to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point in the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down from here. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Here's an interesting moment. The devil knows scripture. Sometimes we must be wary of things that sound like the truth but aren't. We must be especially wary of things that sound like they speak our language but are fraudulent. And the devil again is true. That is what scripture says. But is tempting Jesus with this temptation of what Henry Nouwen says is the temptation to be impressive. The temptation to put on a show. The temptation to have everyone's eyes on you. Again, a shortcut to Jerusalem, a shortcut to the ministry that Jesus knew he had ahead of him. And Jesus responds in scripture. It is said, "Do not put the Lord your God to the test." And when the devil had finished all this tempting, he left him for an opportune time. When I was growing up in the church, I grew up as many young people did. I was leading in youth group, I was leading in Sunday school, I was joint leadership team at church when I was old enough. I was, if it was possible for me to be there, I was there and I was doing it. You might know a few people like that. And I loved it. I was leading the youth group. I was leading family services. I was doing creative endeavors at church. I became very busy. And I remember the year that God so clearly whispered into my ear to say, it's time to stop and to take a sabbatical, take a year away from all upfront leadership. And that was one of the hardest years in my young life. To head into that wilderness for a season of unpacking and repacking. Emerging from that year, I grew up and started working, and I was doing youth ministry in a local church, employed as the youth pastor, as young adults pastor, doing all sorts, having all sorts of fun. And then came the call to go and study theology up in Auckland. And for me, that was another wilderness season. It was the most beautiful place I could be invited to. It was such a treat. But it was 3 years or 2.5 years for me of unpacking and of unlearning and learning my true identity in Christ. That wilderness season for me was difficult and painful and challenging, and I would not have missed it for anything. The season for me was a season where the old Sunday school hymn went around in my brain constantly. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Incidentally, a song that pops up regularly when we do services down at the Bupa Rest Home in Whitby. Trust and obey, that whisper that became my refrain. You may be in one of those wilderness seasons. The Spirit might be leading you into unknown places. Trust the Lord. Trust God. Stay close to God. Those temptations might come. Temptations to cut corners. Temptations to be impressive or powerful, or to put on a show, or to be somebody else. I spent so long longing to be somebody else, and I'm learning to be the person that God has called me to be. Trust and obey. The next verse in Luke's gospel is again so important. Then Jesus, filled with the power of the Spirit, returned to Galilee, and he ministers in power, and people heard and flocked from all over. It's my little paraphrase of 14 and 15. Jesus was led by the power of the Spirit into the wilderness. And Jesus was led by the power of the Spirit from the wilderness into his fruitful ministry. Do not be afraid of those wilderness journeys. Embrace them. Do not be afraid of those moments when you are so aware of your frailty and your humanity. Embrace them. Know the truth. Know the leading of the Holy Spirit. And may you then, learning from those wilderness journeys, move into your fruitful ministry from that place of rich empowering. Can I pray for your church this time? Lord, I thank you so much for North Porirua Baptist Church. I thank you for the journey that you have been bringing the church on, for the things that you have been teaching them, and the way that you have been leading them. And Lord, we trust you through this next journey as the church journeys forth with courage and boldness. We pray that the church might hear your voice, know your truth, and be led in your ways. We pray as we head towards resurrection that you would prepare our hearts, that you would speak your truth to us and give us the strength we need for each day. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.